I'd like to welcome Senator Mark Miller to the Sarah Schultz Show. Senator Miller, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Beautiful day, isn't it? It's a beautiful day today.
It's not raining, and that makes me always excited.
Well, no, this is just one of those beautiful days in Wisconsin that we just relish, and where there's a hugely exciting football game coming up in Madison on Saturday that I think the whole country is going to be watching. So once again, Wisconsin will be in the spotlight.
And I expect the Badgers to win, actually.
I expect too. You're the optimist, and so am I.
Oh, they've got a great team. So
they
don't get me on football. I can go on for another hour on football.
Well, it seems to be the topic of the for this weekend anyway. So it's always a pleasure to be on the phone on your program again.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I have a huge intro for you, and let me just kind of get to the highlights. Senator Miller was a graduate from Middleton High School. He got a Bachelor's of Science at UW-Madison. He attended the Bauhey Institute for Leadership, Legislative Leadership Development in 1999. He attended the Fleming Fellows Leadership Institute in 2002. He was a former military pilot with the Wisconsin Air National Guard, and he retired lieutenant colonel. So thank you for your service, sir. He was a former real estate property manager, and he's a member or was a member of the governor's task force to improve access to oral health in 2005. He was also on the Dane County Board of Health in 98 to 2004 and Board of Health for Madison and Dane County in 04 to 07, and also the Dane County Board of Supervisors from 96 to 2000. Senator Miller was elected to Assembly in 98 to 2002 and elected to Senate in 2004 and reelected in 08. He is now the minority leader, and in 07 he was the majority caucus chairperson. That is quite a resume, sir.
Well, you know, I enjoy public service, and it certainly has been an exciting time. Among those, during that time, I think one of the most significant pieces of legislation that I was directly involved in was the passage of the Great Lake Compact, where its passage was very much dependent on its passage here in Wisconsin.
Well, and that was a great piece of legislature, too. It really saved the Great Lakes and helps protect them. And I was really excited that it went through.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. It was a very important piece of legislation. And we thought it was going to have it might have a longer time in the U.S. Congress to get concurred once it had passed through all the states and the provinces of Canada. But the U.S. Congress adopted it in record time, and now it's the law of the land, and we can go forward and have a direct hand in protecting the great states. And so anyway, I just wanted to throw that in, because when you went through all that long list, I said I'd like to pipe up with something that I'm very proud of.
Well, it's a great piece of legislation. Thank you so much for working on that. Now, if anyone has any questions for Senator Miller, the phone number is 310-742-1896. Before I get into any of your questions, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done to help the people of Wisconsin. Thank you for your filibustering. Thank you for bringing all this to our attention. Thank you for everything.
Well, you're welcome, Sarah, but I have to say thank you back to the people of the state of Wisconsin who recognized in very short order what was happening and rose up and took recognition of the fact that they have to have responsibility and investment in our political future, because otherwise, if we have apathy, we will have the kind of government we have right now, which is, you know, where we're seduced by the big money folks like the Koch brothers, and will be overtaken with the agenda from the American Legislative Exchange Council. I heard you earlier a guest talk about that, and that's an agenda that is being pursued in a number of states across the country.
Well, and we were talking about actually the special session bills, which brings me to my first question, actually.
Sure.
Before we get into some of the bills, can you actually explain what a special session is for some of the people who just don't know?
Well, a special session, at the beginning of the legislative session, established the legislative calendar for the year, and that's our regular session. The governor can call the legislature into special session to deal with a particular issue that requires prompt and rapid attention. And the governor calls us into special session at the when he was inaugurated on January 3rd and has stayed into special session until just last week. And that special session was to deal with the budget and with jobs. Well, apparently the jobs parts of the special session didn't take, and so he's called another special session on jobs. The difference as far as the legislature is concerned is that floor sessions can be called at any time with a minimum amount of notice, and the normal procedures for legislative debate are thrown out the window, and so that you can really expedite legislation much more quickly. And this is where most of the damage occurred in the first special session, you know, the budget repair bill that had the union busting provisions in it. And a number of the other bills were all done in special session, and that's why they came, that's why they were going through so fast. And that's why I felt it was necessary that we deny a quorum so that the public would have an opportunity to see what was in particular, the union busting bill.
Well, and we don't have any bills like that this time around, but going through the bills, I mean, you've got bills that stop legislation for where you can't sue the drug companies. You have a bill in there from Governor Walker that says if you're going to be a Hollywood movie, you can only pay $500 instead of $5,000 or 2%. I mean, how do any of these bills help bring jobs into the state?
Well, that has been our complaint, Sarah, is that under the guise of a special session focused on job creation, in fact, there are a lot of other bills that really have nothing to do with that, but are more a part of an ongoing agenda to continue to make wealthier people wealthier and to give more breaks to corporations. And that was that was a large part of the first special session, and it looks like it's being included in the second one.
Are there any jobs in there that actually will help, or any bills in there, I'm sorry, that will actually help bring jobs in or create jobs or
There are. The governor's included some Democratic bills, ones that we introduced back in the beginning of the year. One in particular is, you know, we've heard from employers that they have jobs that they want to hire people, but there's people that don't have the skill set for those jobs, and so we've got a bill in there to enhance the training for these sort of these advanced employee skills to be able to get the training so the employers can hire them. In addition to which, we propose restoring funding to the technical colleges so that they can handle the significant increase in people looking to get the training so they can get new job skills. We really need to focus on how you get people back to work, as opposed to how do you get, you know, the governor's position has always been, well, you give more tax breaks and spend more money to make for corporations and transfer wealth out of the middle class into the wealthy class, and then that somehow will create jobs. Well, it's never created jobs, and that's been a large part of our philosophical difference.
Do you think that the Democratic bills will actually get passed? Do you think there's going to be a fair shake this time around?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. You know, the governor's record has not been good in this, and it looks very much like it's a public relations move. But we're certainly interested in doing what we can and to work constructively towards an agenda that actually creates jobs in the state. And so I want to keep that opportunity and that option open, something we've been wanting to do since the beginning. And although it's now October, it's good that there's finally a renewed focus on what's really important.
Well, the Dems had several bills last special session, that dealt with jobs and job creation. Are you going to reintroduce any of those bills again into the session?
Most of those are introduced as regular session bills. There was really not a need for a special session except to sort of emphasize that this was a focus. But it turned out that the special session was more of a focus on a power grab, a political power grab, than it was on jobs. And so what we saw was, you know, the job description to do one thing, and the actual bills that were introduced in it did something else. And this, we'll have to wait and see if that pattern is followed in this session, or if we can actually work on in a bipartisan way on actual legislation that will help create jobs in the state for people that actually work.
Well, and the special session is being held in congruence with the regular session, isn't it?
It is. And that's not uncommon.
Okay.
Well, we'll oftentimes have the legislation for the special session on the same day that we have legislation in the ordinary session. But the difference with a special session is you can take up bills at basically any time, and that you can expedite these because some of the normal parliamentary processes for deliberation and slowing a bill down are not available. So it's very attractive to the majority party to have bills in a special session because they can be much faster.
Yeah, but
actually,
they would
much faster, but a little bit faster.
But they already have the votes to pass these bills, though, don't they? So I'm not sure what the special session is needed for other than to quickly go through it because, I mean, I don't know how you guys
would
stop.
Well, it's a way, you know, traditionally a special session is declared to try and put a focus on a particular issue or area that needs to have special focus. For example, we were talking earlier about the Great Lakes Compact. Governor Doyle called a special session to pass the Great Lakes Compact. But that was, you know, that was a narrow focus. And most special sessions have that sort of narrow focus, maybe two or three bills. But in this administration, we've seen dozens of bills being introduced as special session bills.
Well, I'm going to move on a little bit to bipartisanship. Can Walker and the Fitzgerald brothers actually be believed in their rhetoric of them moving towards more bipartisanship?
Well, I think the proof will be in the actions, it's very apparent that both the governor and the Republicans need to do some repair of their public perception. They have a very negative public perception of the way they've governed the state so far, and so I think they've realized they've stepped over the bounds and are trying to find a way to try and make themselves look better. But as I indicated to the governor and as I indicated to Senator Fitzgerald, is that really the proof will be in the pudding, and whether or not we actually see a change or whether or not the same old patterns continue.
Well, where does bipartisanship fit in with in the state legislature?
Well, you know, Sarah, actually is a substantial number of bills that are passed on a bipartisan basis. But there's major philosophical differences in some of the ways that we try to accomplish the public good and how we pursue. The Democrats have always been huge supporters of public education and a fair deal for the average working man and woman in the state, so that if times are tough, that we share the sacrifices that are needed. But if when times get better, that we all prosper together. And the Republicans have always had this philosophy that you enhance benefits to the wealthiest and corporations, and somehow that will trickle down to the rest of us. Well, we have seen that effort for the last 70 years has been a failed policy. And so we hope that we can encourage the governor and the Republican majority to look at how do we benefit the ordinary working men and women in the state, because they certainly have done a lot of damage to them in their first 6 months.
Well, and this partisanship is really hurting Wisconsin. We're separated on so many levels where we weren't 2 years ago. How can we change that? How can we fix what's going on?
Well, one of the real challenges we face is that there is a cadre of very wealthy industrialists. I think the most notorious is are the Koch brothers, who have funded some of these right-wing think tanks that have provided a whole agenda and have trained a cadre of acolytes to do their bidding, who have invested heavily in campaigns to the point where they have a whole army of elected officials who are now pursuing their agenda and who are propagating it over the airwaves. And so, and they brook very little rational thought. You hear it all the time, particularly on on talk radio and on some broadcast or on some cable television channels of just really hearing all the hearing an agenda that talks about how government can never succeed and is really undermining our ability to govern ourselves. And you know, I think one of the challenges is that the way we finance our campaigns leads to that kind of political campaigns that are so dependent on high money as opposed to the kind of dialogue that would be helpful in terms of how deciding how to go forward in public policy. And with the advent of the internet and blogs, some of which are extraordinarily irresponsible, it's a challenge to figure out how we go forward.
So, in your opinion, the best way to really try to bring things together is just to get rid of Citizens United and to get more public financing for campaigns and to take back that aspect of it?
I think that would be an important element. I don't think it is the only thing. I don't think that just that by itself would do it. I think we also need to look at the folks who are running for office and look to those who are really devoted to the public welfare as opposed to the welfare of an elite few. And it has to be more than just lip service. You have to judge folks by how they actually have performed. And I think that's where oftentimes we fail. I mean, it's a responsibility. We are a democracy. And this, unfortunately, the huge sums of money that are thrown into the political system has distorted our ability to be able to govern ourselves. But I'm encouraged by the fact that so many of Wisconsin citizens have recognized that they need to take our destiny, our future destiny, into our own hands and govern ourselves, and I have great hopes for the future.
We're talking to Senator Mark Miller. If you have any questions, you could call in at 310-742-1896. Now, there is a mining committee that the Republicans have already, they've already put all their people on, and you just released the names of the Dems on the committee. Can you let us know who they will be and how they'll help shape this committee?
You want the names of all the committee members?
No, just the Dems. I know who the four Republicans are.
Well,
they've been out in the
Democrats are the ones that I nominated. There was a brief time when the majority leader had indicated he was not going to accept my nominations, but he has now. And the nominee and the appointments will be Senator Jouk, Senator Urbanbach, and Senator Carpenter. You know, the mining bill is a statewide issue, which is going to affect the entire state, and so it's important to have folks from around the state. And the Republican members are also from around the state. Well, it's kind of surprising. None of them are from the area where these mines are going to be actually built. Senator Jouks is the Democrat that I nominated to the committee. Will have the proposed mine that's being considered would be in his district.
Yeah, I was going to say that Senator Kedzie, who is the chair of that, is my senator, and his district touches Illinois.
Right.
So I found that very interesting. Why did you end up nominating those three? Is there something in particular of each one that other than obviously Senator Jouks was an obvious because it's in his district that they're putting the mine in, but Senator Carpenter, Senator Urbanbach, what was it about them that said you guys would be perfect to sit on this committee?
Well, both of these are experienced legislators with a wide range of legislative experience, knowing they know how to find common ground, but they are also very much dedicated to the fact that we have a very valuable natural resource in the state of Wisconsin that attracts thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to our state every year, and that this is important not only for us who live here, but also to our economy. In that we shouldn't be sacrificing one economic sector for something that is going to last us for a long time. So our economy and our natural resources are very important, and both Senator Urbanbach and Senator Jouk and Senator Carpenter recognize that. Southeastern Wisconsin is where a lot of our manufacturing is located. Many of those manufacturers are located in Senator Carpenter's district, and Senator Erbenbach, of course, has a long history of being very protective of Wisconsin's natural resources.
Now, why exactly did this committee be formed? I mean, are they looking at it? Is this the committee that's going to say, here's the new mining bill?
Well, it's only a Senate committee, and, you know, normally there is, when we have standing committees, a natural resources committee that would normally be considering the bill, but I think the reason for the creation of the special committee was to actually draft the legislation, and so they created a special committee for that purpose, and then that will hold the public hearings and report the recommendations out. Oftentimes, the legislation is drafted before it's sent to a committee. In this case, I think the committee was created to actually draft the legislation.
Okay, and who formed this? Whose idea was this for this committee?
I believe it was Senator Fitzgerald's idea. It may have been the governor's, but I don't know. But Senator Fitzgerald informed me that it was his intention to form a select committee and to for this specific piece of legislation, which is a proposed mining bill. Now, you might remember there was an earlier draft of a proposed mining bill. It was never introduced, but it was circulated, and it was a disaster in terms of undermining all the public protections we have in our current law. We have a good, strong mining law that's been in effect for over 40 years. It's been modified from time to time, and mining is going on under that law, but there are protections and processes to ensure that the public interest, including protecting our groundwater and our natural resources and our tourism assets, are all considered. And so there's not, you know, other than the fact that this mining company, which by the way has a terrible record both as an employer and as a mining company, I think is blackmailing the state into saying they're not going to do the mining unless we significantly weaken our environmental laws. Now, so I'm hopeful that this committee will recognize that they have a responsibility to the entire state and to our natural resources, and will, if they put forward a bill, will be one that recognizes that.
Well, Walker already has bills out there that have taken away protection for water, and he's got bills out there for air. How much more does he want to strip from the national resources?
Well, and that's our concern is that, you know, there are bills on here that look like they're going to greatly undermine our natural resource protection. There's for example, there was included a wetland bill with no Wisconsin was the first state to assume responsibility for regulating isolated wetlands when the Supreme Court said the federal government didn't have that authority. And so now there is a bill to revise that legislation, and we don't know what's in it yet because it hasn't been introduced. And so that's one of those bills that we were talking about among the some two dozen bills that were put on the agenda by the governor for the special session are ones like this one that really have nothing to do with job creation but may have a lot to do with undermining our natural resource protection.
Well, I'm going to get back to the special session in a moment, but the Republicans have a 4-3 majority. The Dems have three. They obviously have four people sitting on it. Do you think that the Dems are going to be heard on this committee at all? I mean, that's a fear of mine because the lack of bipartisanship seen throughout the rest of the session so far.
Well, all of the committee members are veteran legislators. I have some confidence that they'll be able to work together to put together legislation that will serve the best interests of the state. But I think the proof will be in what actually happens. It's still early. You know, I'm going to be an optimist that it can happen, but we'll see how it develops.
Okay, now getting back to the special session, I know you and Representative Barca did a press conference and said that a lot of the bills had the Legislative Reference Bureau numbers still. Have you been able to get any of those bills since you did the conference? Because you said a lot of those they hadn't even seen
yet.
No,
there's none that have been introduced since that time. None that I'm aware of have been introduced so that we have a chance to look at what the actual substance is. We just have sort of a brief description of what they are.
So they could pretty much have anything thrown in them and you would have no idea.
Well, we know what the subject matter is, at least on the bills, but, you know, this doesn't have to be a conclusive list. They could add any legislation at any time to this list, which is what happened in the first special session. So, but it's a long list for a special session. As I indicated earlier, usually a special session is very focused, but we have bills on here that have some relationship to job creation and business development, but we also have a lot that have really very little to do with that. So we'll have to see what is the pattern that evolves from this new special session on jobs.
And I know you mentioned Alec before. How many of these bills that are in the special session are actually from Alec or have Alec references in them?
I think there's three. I know the pharmacy bill is one of them, and the bill on let me see if I can. There is the one on the trespassing bill is based on an ALEC model, and the limiting the liability for drug manufacturers. And then I mentioned earlier the one on limiting judgments in certain civil cases.
That
came out of the American Legislative Exchange list of bills. Now, are you familiar with this organization and how it operates? It's basically a group of industrialists that have created an opportunity to train legislators, and it is a very powerful kind of lobbying. It's not called lobbying; it's called education. But they have a staff and they have they develop model legislation. It's been going on for over 30 years and it's been having an increasing influence. They've put people out on the media network. You oftentimes hear them, or people from the Heritage Institute or the Cato Institute, which are related, and to promote their agenda. And it's been an effective thing, and it is a thing that's funded by big industrial companies in the U.S. and they use this as a way to advance an industrial agenda, or at least the agenda of people like the Koch brothers.
Which leaves us out of the loop altogether.
I'm sorry?
Which leaves the people, the people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, the people are definitely not included in that. But it has, you know, it's just now starting to become, people are starting to become aware of this organization and its influence, because it has had increasing influence over the last 30 years and particularly in the last 10.
And you're seeing it in Wisconsin. They've done a lot of bills in Wisconsin.
Oh, sure. The union busting bill was always been on their agenda. And the other one is to attack the ability of people who are damaged by equipment that have to be able to recover damages that they suffer as a result of bad equipment or bad materials that they have used. So that's an ALEC piece of legislation, and there were several in that first session that came out of it. And you also saw it, you know, in Ohio, which has gotten so much attention. You know, they had a union busting bill in Ohio, which the citizens of Ohio rose up and got the signatures necessary to be able to put that bill on a referendum, which is an avenue we don't have here in Wisconsin. The only way we have here in Wisconsin to call elected officials accountable when they overreach is the recall process.
Which they're trying, that the Republicans are trying to write a bill to make that more difficult as well.
That's what we've heard. That's what we've heard.
So I have a question from the chat room. Ice Fisher wants to know, does our state constitution say anything about separation of powers so that giving Walker the power to deny rules is illegal?
You know, I haven't studied that part of the Constitution. The Constitution does give the legislature the policymaking authority and the tax-raising authority. The executive is supposed to be able to execute the policy that the legislature passes. And what happened, that was a huge transfer of power from the legislative branch to the governor's office, and I am just dumbfounded that Republicans legislators were willing to do this, is oftentimes when we pass legislation, we create the requirement for a state agency to develop rules to implement that legislation, to work out the details, and details that can be modified easily from time to time without having to necessarily go through separate legislation. But whenever those rules are before they can become effective, they have to be come back to the legislature, who then the standing committee that with that responsibility for that area makes a determination of whether or not the rules are congruent and consistent with the public policy that was adopted. What was done in this first special session was to transfer almost all of that authority over to the governor, who has to pass on the acceptability of the developed rules before they ever come to the legislature. So he basically has been put into that policy-making role, that very substantial transfer of power from the legislature to the governor.
That floored me when they did that, actually.
I couldn't. Yeah, me too. You know, when I could not imagine the Democrats ever doing that for a Democratic governor. It's just an amazing. And one of the things that you know is once you transfer power like that, it's very hard to get it back.
Yeah, most people, once they have power, they don't like to give it up. They're like, oh, you want part of your fair share? Sure, I'll give you some of mine. It doesn't normally work that way.
That's exactly right.
So, well, we have just a few minutes left. You guys have started a radio broadcast, you and Representative Barca, I should say, and you guys do this once a week. Can you talk about that for just a moment?
Yes. We see this as an opportunity to provide information to the public in addition to the way that we've normally done it through press releases and so forth. It's new, and we're hopefully that it'll serve its purpose of giving radio listeners an opportunity to hear from additional sources about public policies that are confronting the legislature. So I hope it works.
Well, where can people listen to it? Is it something if their radio station doesn't play it? Is there somewhere online they can listen to that?
Yes, I believe it'll be online, and I wish I had that detail for you right now. It's on the, if you can look it up on the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association website to find out which stations will be carrying it, and it's also available it's available through the website.
Okay, through the broadcaster's website?
Yeah, through the broadcaster's website, and I'm not sure exactly the day it's a Thursday. I think Thursday is the day the new broadcasts go on.
Okay. What I'll do then is I'll look that up and I will post it on my Facebook page for anyone who's interested. They can go on
Great.
The Sarah Schultz Show Facebook page and get
Great.
That information, because it's important that you guys get your voice heard. So.
Yeah. Well, and I thank you for your help with that. You know, this is one of the things about the modern electronic era is that we have the lots of opportunities for information, and that's both good and it can be really severely abused. And so, what I've heard from your program is that you're providing information that's going to be helpful to the people that hear it.
That's my hope. I'm hoping I could get the voices out there that don't have another place to go, and there's not a lot of places in the state of Wisconsin you can get this type of news.
That's right.
So, well, thank you so much for being on today, Senator Miller. I hope we can have you back again sometime soon.
My pleasure, Sarah. I look forward to it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. You enjoy that football game and enjoy a beautiful day.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to watch it on TV. There's no way I could afford a ticket.
I'm in the same boat. I'm going to stream it online and see if I can get good shots there. So.
All right. Well, go Badgers.
Exactly. Go Badgers. Yep. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Senator Mark Miller, who is the minority leader in the Wisconsin Senate.